read two parashiyot this week, parashiyot Nitzavim and Vayelech, and of course, in those parashiyot we have the parasha of Tshuva. We're going to read through it briefly, and what I want to deal with is the position of the Ramban and the Rambam with respect to the mitzvah of Tshuva, and there may be all sorts of other things that will emerge from it. Maybe as a remark at the opening, one of the songs that I've been looking into for the last week is a sefer called Perak Mate Aron, Chidushim on the Rambam by Rav Aaron Halevi Soloveitchik, that the Tzadik L'Rosh, the Rav's younger brother. And the reason why I pulled this out and why I've been looking into it is because in Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's introduction to this sefer, he writes the following. He thanks a number of people who were helpful in getting the sefer printed, and then he says, "V'afron chavin, last and most beloved of all, the Talmidi Hamitzuyan, my outstanding student, Yitzchak Kolot, the person of all the great mayor of all." Arab HaGoyin, Dr. David Yaakov Halevi Applebaum. Arabe HaYadua, the well-known Dr. Shezofa Bukhasi Oshay Rav Knesset Yisrael HaTzalas Nefashis, received a prize from the Knesset for life-saving. She'omal V'yoga Oksav Hayar, he toiled and he put in all the effort on the Rav's Ravan's writings, the Hishkiya Bo Yom Volelos, he invested day and night, Shedeshut Amalova Avodato, because of his effort and his work, Roe HaKibur Or, this sefer has been published. Okay. So I'd say that we've all been in mourning, and most probably we will be in mourning for a long, long time to come. We're going to begin with the text, and we can read through the text quickly. This is I'm not sure yet what to call it, because we're going to talk about the question, is there a mitzvah of tshuva? That may sound very strange to you, is there a mitzvah of tshuva? But we're going to see that it is a real question. When all of these things are going to happen, the blessing and the curse, because in Parashat Kitavo, in the Tzukotai, we get a view of Jewish history, and Jewish history is going to be both blessing and curse. There are going to be good times and there are going to be bad times. And when all of this is going to happen to you, I place before you, you will return to your heart, you're going to look at yourself. Amongst all of those nations where God had cast you out. I want to point out the word v'shaftar Hashem Elokecha can be translated in two ways. V'shaftar, you shall return to God with God. V'shaftar can also mean, and you will return to God with God. Which means it could be a divine imperative. That's what you should do. That's the right thing to do. You're suffering, do tshuva. And then there's the possibility that we're going to look at ourselves a great deal more seriously, and we are going to reach the point of returning to God our God. As I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. There can be all sorts of repetitions over here, and the fact is that this very text was the subject of last year's shir on Yitzhakim and Hayelach, and I'm not going to go through that again. But I really want to come to the few psukim that come right after the parsha. the so-called parasha of Tshuva are 10 psukim. You have it here from Aleph to Yud, and it describes where we're up to. The Shama Shavu Kepot Shlutcho, God is going to return your captivity, V'richamecha, and He will have mercy on you. V'shav V'kibetz Holy Kol Ha'olam, and He's going to turn again and gather you into all the nations. That God has dispersed you there. By the way, these psukim are going to be said time and time again during the slichas, the davening, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. These psukim are going to appear over and over again. Now, this pasuk, I simply can't pass this pasuk without saying the great part of the Meshach Chochmah Rabbi Simcha HaKoymit Binsky or Samer. Take a look at the pasuk. We're going to say it in Davening. You might as well know what it means. God is going to return your captivity. What does that mean? That means Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, V'richamecha, and He will have mercy upon you. V'shavet, He's going to go back there. V'kibetzcha, mikol ha'amim, He's going to gather you in from all the nations. Asher hefitzcha, Hashem l'kavotom, that God dispersed you there. Wait a minute, wasn't that done in the first part of the pasuk? It said already. Bishav Hashem Elokecha Mitzvutcha. It already said that God is going to return your captivity. What's this new act of mercy that He's going to go back out there again and gather you in? Great, great part of the Rameh Simcha. Rameh Simcha says the following: there are two kinds of Jews in the exile. There are two kinds of Jews in Golus. There's the Jew in Golus who dreams, who yearns, and longs for Eretz Yisrael. You know what he feels like? He can be in Flatbush, he can be in West Hempstead, and he feels like he's in captivity and can't wait for the time that he's going to return to Eretz Yisrael. And then there are others who, not bad, you know. You can get used to it. You can get used to Golus. It has some advantages, No, it certainly aren't buses blowing up. That's an advantage. What about other advantages? So the Rabbi Simcha says that God is telling the Jewish people, "V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvutcha," God is going to return those who feel like they're captives in Chutzlaz. They're going to be the first ones. The ones who feel like they are captives and can't wait for the moment that they would return to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be the first wave. And then V'richamecha, there's going to be a special act of God's mercy and compassion. He's going to go back into the exile. V'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim, is in gathering from all the nations where you are dispersed. There will be two stages, stage one and stage two. I venture to guess that we're part of that big stage one. Thank you. And that we're hanging in here, you understand, is the great chus. We can stand up before the Rabbeinu Shalom and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and tell them, listen, we came back, we're here, and we plan on staying here despite everything. That has to count. That has to count for a great deal. In the end of the third time, you're going to be cast out at the very end of the earth, the end of the heaven. From there, God is going to gather in. You in, and there He's going to bring you. God is going to bring you to the land, Hashem Yerusha, I will tell you that your fathers inherited, the Yerishta, you will inherit it, that He Tivcha Behir Bechami Abotecha. This is what we're waiting for. This is the great blessing we're waiting for. That He Tivcha is going to be good to you, and He's going to make you even greater than your fathers. That's an unusual and exceptional problem. Yeah. All right, we can pass over the next few psukim and then come to the next paragraph. The part of Tshuva ends, and then it says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, pasuk yud aleph, 11. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, asher anochi mitzvah, this mitzvah that I command you today, lo niflei pi mimcha, v'lo rechokagi. It's not impossible, and it's not distant from you. Lo v'ashamayim hilemor, it's not in heaven that you will be able to say, Mi yale lo v'ashamayim v'yikochel lo, who's going to be able to climb to the heavens and And we will listen and we will do. It's got to be other side of the ocean. So that you could say, who's going to go to the other side of the sea and take it unto us? We'll hear the Naseno. It's very close to you. The thing is close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart to do. This pasuk, ki ha-mitzvah hazot, Rashi says, ki ha-mitzvah hazot, he's referring to all of Torah. All of Torah, this great mitzvah that I've given you from the beginning of Torah till now. The Ramban is one of the portions, and we're going to concentrate on the Ramban and then on the Ramban to the extent that we will be able to. The Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman. The Ramban says, and take a look at number 2. I want to go first to the paragraph where there are a number of lines that are underlined. The Ta'am ki ha-mitzvah hazot, pasuk yud aleph in that big Ramban over there. Pasuk yud aleph. The Ta'am ki ha-mitzvah hazot, al kol ha-Torah kula. It refers to kol all of Torah. And the Ramban here is really quoting Rashi and the other Mepharshim. But he's going to take a different position. Ba'anachon, what is correct, what he means, what is correct according to him. Kyal kol ha-Torah yomar, kol ha-mitzvah, asher onochi mitzavcha hayom, aval ha-mitzvah hazot al ha-tshuva miskeret. He says, no. If this pasuk would be talking about all of Torah, then all it should have said, ki ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, the mitzvah that I commanded today. But wait a minute, there's another word added there. Hazot. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot. This mitzvah. Or once it says ha-mitzvah hazot, that means the pasuk is focusing in on one single particular mitzvah. This is not all of Torah. V'hanachon, take a look what he said. Ki al kol ha-Torah, if it would be talking about all of Torah, that this mitzvah is so close to you, it's easy, it's not in the heavens, it's not across the sea, it's in your mouth and your heart to do it. If it would be referring to all of Torah, then it should have said, ki ha-mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcha. Aval ha-mitzvah hazot, when it says this mitzvah, av ha-tshuva ha-nizkeret, you know what it's talking about? The mitzvah that was described in the 10th psukim preceding, which is the mitzvah of tshuva. Ki v'ha-shevota el-vavecha, v'ha-shevota el-vavecha, that it said in this, in the first pasuk, in pasuk number 1 that we read. V'shavta ad Hashem el-kecha, that it says in pasuk number 2. And all the rest of the times, you know what that's talking about? That is mitzvah, shi'yitzaveh otanu la'asokeh. It's a mitzvah that we should do so. Now listen very carefully. The Nemra of the Lashon Beinoni. The problem, and a great deal of the problem is, when I read the passage before, I said, Vishafta can be translated in one of two ways. You shall return, or Vishafta means you will. All the tzaras are going to come upon you. Oh, Jewish. The weight of Jewish history is going to come down on you, and then you will. So the Ramban refers to this as Lashon Beinoni. Beinoni means a term that's somewhere in the middle, or it's a bit ambivalent. It could be this way, it could be that way, it could be you shall, it could be you will. And he says the reason why the Torah wrote it this way, why did the Torah simply write Toshuv? The tzaras are going to come upon you. Toshuv. Shuv. Why v'shavta? V'hashevota. These are words that seem not to be a divine imperative. It could be understood that way. But it could also mean a description of the reality of what's going to happen. This is what the Ramban calls Lashon Beinoni. It's like, it's parrot. It's not fleshy. It's not milky. Somewhere in the middle. So the Ramban says, you know why why the Torah used this ambivalent kind of term, because the Torah is telling you not only that you shall, but the Torah is also telling us what's going to be in the future. You will. We know exactly. God says, I know exactly what's going to happen. You shall do tshuva, and the fact is that you will do tshuva. So he says, the Nemar of Elosha Habbeinini limos to hint to the fact that in the future it's going to be like this. Now, we had a shiur a number of weeks ago where we learned the Ramban, and the Ramban used precisely the same term where he says the Torah used Loshon Beinoni, this Tarava term, and the fact is, you don't have to look, I had that Ramban on the other side of the sheet where we learned the Parashah of King. It says that when you're going to come to the land in which you live, Bo'omarta, you will say, Osimo Alai Melech, I want to place a king upon myself like the other nations of the world. And the mitzvah is, Som Tosim Alech Melech, so you should place a king upon that I choose. But the first one, they were concerned about the word Bo'omarta. Does Bo'omarta mean you shall say we want a king? Or does Bo'omarta mean, you know, you will say we want a king? And the Ramban says the same thing there. It's a Loshon Beinoni, because the fact is he holds that it's a mitzvah that Jews should ask for a king. And the pasuk is also telling us in the future that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to come and you're going to say. Same thing the Ramban says is true of it. Ba'atam lemar, ki im yeri dachachov v'kitzir ha-shamayim v'atoviyat ha-amim, tumchal lo shuv el Hashem v'lasot ichol asher anochi mitzarcho hayom. And he says, even if you are all dispersed amongst the nations of the world, I want to tell you, it's possible to do tshuva. You're able to do it. Tumchal, you can turn to God and do everything that I commanded today. It's not concealed nor distant from you. It's close. You can do it at any time and in any place. Now, the Ramadan is going to take the last pasuk, and in this last pasuk, and the fact is, not even the last pasuk, the last three words, b'ficha u'bilvavcha la'asoto, it's in your mouth and in your heart to do. The Ramban is going to see in these three words the entire structure of tshuva, the body of tshuva. And he says, v'zeh tam b'ficha u'bilvavcha la'asoto, sheyidvadu et avonam, they confess their sins. That's b'ficha. What do you do with your mouth? What aspect of tshuva, what dimension of tshuva comes to the fore with one's mouth? The confession, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Al Chayt Shechatonu, whatever. So the ficha is bidui. She is vadulus avon, avonam vet avon, avotam the fiend, that they should confess their sin and the sin of their fathers with their mouths. The Yoshuvu believe on. Now, bidui alone, the ficha alone is not enough. If it's not going to be the levavcha, if it's not going to be in your heart, it's not going to be something that you really mean, that bidui, that confession, it is useless, it's valueless. The Yoshu will believe in the Hashem, the Yekamu Aleim, and they will accept upon themselves today, Torah la'asotah le'dorot. Bilvavcha means, you're serious, you really mean it. La'asotah is the final step of tshuva, is when one accepts upon himself the future. I'm going to do all the mitzvahs. I'm not going to do that ever again. So in these three words, it's amazing how the Ramban reads it. B'ficha, b'ilvavcha, la'asoto. B'ficha, this is bidui, the confession. B'ilvavcha, our heart that is turning to God, la'asoto, and the decision that this is the way it's going to be in the future. All right. So the Ramban, I think we can say that the Ramban is quite clear. Ramban makes a very definite statement that tshuva is a mitzvah. What about the Rambam? The Rambam has really been the subject of great debate for many years, and by the end of this year I still have a little bit guts. I may enter in with my own approach very humbly in between the greats who have dealt with this. So let's begin next page. The numbers are specifically to the Rambam. Nobody can approach. You can't approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without Hilchus Tshuva of the Rambam. That's axiomatic. The Rambam was the first one who saw Tshuva as such a significant, all-important part of Yahadut that he codified the laws of Tshuva. The Rambam was the first one. And the fact is that anybody who came afterwards built on whatever the Rambam wrote. They say, of course, that the Rambam, brilliant as he was, divided it into 10 chapters so that one could learn a chapter a day during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. I think we have 10 days. How many days do we have till Rosh Hashanah? You know, you can learn it once till Rosh Hashanah, and then again during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. If one time around is good, twice around, that would be more than twice as good. So we're going to learn a little bit in the Rambam, and we're going to see what's the approach taken by Gedolei Yisrael to this Rambam.
You want more water?
Huh?
You want more water? Thank
you very much, Toby. Hilchot Tshuva. Now you should know every section of the Rambam begins with a quotenet, a headline, a title, and they all sort of are pretty much similar. They tell you what mitzvot, positive and negative, are going to be dealt with in this section. When it comes to mitzvot, Shubai says, mitzvot asei aha. We're going to deal with one part of the commandment. Vahu, sheyoshu hachotem mecheto l'fnei Hashem, that the sinner shall do tshuva before God, yitvadeh, and confess. Ubeir mitzvah zu, and the explanation, the clarification of this mitzvah, and fundamental principles of Judaism that flow through this mitzvah, and these few words are words that he never says at the beginning of any of his sections, because here in Mitzvah Tshuva, he's going to have to deal with extremely, extremely significant aspects of Yahadut. Tshuva, of course, is based on the fact that man has free will. The Rambam is therefore going to devote two chapters to the whole idea of free will, that we can do whatever we want. And because we can do whatever we want, therefore he's going to take us to the next major pillar of belief in Judaism, which is reward and punishment. Since we can do whatever we want to do, so therefore we are responsible. And if we're responsible, God can command us what to do and what not to do. And therefore we can be... we are open for reward or, God forbid, punishment, depending on whether we did listen to the word of God or we didn't.
How come it says, and then it says, if he already returns, what does he have to confess after?
Alright. I thought you nearly were touching on something extremely significant, but you were touching on something just slightly less significant. I'll just answer that with the following. As far as Torah is concerned, there are ideas or feelings that have to be expressed verbally. Do you love me? She asks him. And he says, but of course I do. So why don't you tell me? I love you in my heart. Doesn't help me. You really mean something, you say it. The Baal Tshuva who gives verbal expression and is able to say,
I know what I did, and I'm sorry. Oi, that has infinite more power.
More power than simply thinking.
Thoughts, easy come, easy go. They can just fly through the mind and gone. That's why, I thought you were going to ask, but since you didn't ask, then I'm going to... What was the last pasuk that the last three words that the Rambam was talking about? Bevicha u'bilevavicha la'asotot. Shouldn't it have been bilevavicha u'bevicha if bevicha means bidui and levavicha means tshuva, which comes first? First comes levavicha and then comes bicha, and you let me get away with it.
Yeah, that's right.
You let me get away. Not a single one of all of you here in this great hall. Not a single one stopped me.
That's what she meant.
Of course, it's an extremely most significant question.
I'm telling you, there can be a sheer just on this question, but I'm not going to do that. But I will simply say, because whatever went on in one's heart until he makes that declaration, the verbal declaration intensifies the feeling of tshuva to such a great degree that it's as though it's a new bilavavacha that has made him say.
Right.
Yes.
Well, in a way, this goes back to Har Sinai. The important thing is the doing, the speaking, the thinking about all good things come, well, not on such a significant
it
level.
It was very significant that you said,
Exactly.
We will do it. We will hear.
That's what I assume.
All right. They said it first before doing it.
They said what?
They said it first before doing it. Even
that's
though
right.
They put on
the condition. They now said it before
doing it.
Because there's a tremendous. Listen. We know the impact or the power of words. And I'm not only talking about a word of Lashon Hara or a word of Rechilus that can be destructive. Just open up the newspapers on any day. A statement of this leader or that leader can have such awesome impact. It's terrible. We know that words affect our lives. Our lives are being affected by words being said by people. There's a tremendous impact to words. That's what the Torah is telling us. Vidui, not only is it the culmination of a deep process taking place within the human being, but it also generates an even greater process to come in. Okay. Halacha Aleph. We're not going to learn the whole halakha. We only need one part of it. Kol ha-mitzvot, Shabbat Torah, all the mitzvot in Torah. Bein asei, bein lo, sar asei, whether they are negative, the positive or negative commandments. Im over adam al achat mehen, if a person transgressed any one of them, bein v'zadam, bein v'shvagar, regardless of whether it was done intentionally or unintentionally. Kishayam asei tshuva, listen very carefully, because this line in the Rambam has been studied and studied over and over again. Kishayah says tshuva. When a person does tshuva, the yashuv mechato, and he turns back from his sin, chayev lehitvados lifnei hakel baruch hu, he is obligated to confess before God. Blessed is he, shenema, as it says, ish o isha, shiyasu mikol chatos ha'adam, men or women that are going to do any of the sins of men, they bring a sacrifice, and they should confess the sin that they did. That is the confession of words. Vidui zeh, this vidui is mitzvah asei. This confession is a positive commandment. Ketzad mitvadeh, the Rambam says, what's the formula for vidui? How do you do it? So he says, Omer, first of all, say, Omer Hashem, I sinned, I've erred, I've rebelled before you. I've done such and such. Here we have all of the components of tshuva. Number one, I recognize my sin. I know that I sinned. I regret and I'm embarrassed from what I did. And then there's the Kabbalah Lahabai, accept upon myself, Ulaolam Eini Chozel Adobarzeh, I never will do that again. Vidui. This is the main part of the confession. One says this is praiseworthy. All right, if we just read these few lines in the Rambam, I'll just read the significant words again. When a person does tshuva, the yashuv miketo chayav lihipadot, he has to say vidui. And the Rambam brings a pasuk. Vidui zeh mitzvah aseh. This vidui is mitzvah aseh. Is it possible to understand the Rambam as saying there is no mitzvah of tshuva? You know what the mitzvah is?
Yeah, vidui.
The mitzvah is the mitzvah of vidui. When a person does tshuva, so then the Torah obligates him to say the vidui. But the Torah doesn't obligate him to do tshuva. Do whatever you want to do. You want to do mitzvahs, do mitzvahs, you get points. You want to do averus, do averus. We'll keep an accounting of it. And the fact is that a number of the Akronim, the head, certainly one of the great was the Minchas Chinuch, and then I also have the other side, I have the Meshech Chochma there. It's worthwhile to take a look at the Meshech Chochma from that's number 4. Meir Simcha says, and I know that there are a few lines there that you'll have difficulty reading, but I'll read it for you. Yeah. This is in the parasha of Tshuva is in itself. This is a passage from Vayelech. Va'omar Vayomahu, there will come a day of terrible trouble, and we're going to say, Al Ki'en L'Kai B'Kirvi, because God is not in my midst, because I don't have God. With so only all of these terrible things that happen. That's where in Vayelech is going to be discussed or described the idea of Hester upon him when God is in consuming. So now Shohama says in his Kashrut Daven, does there many people ask the question? Am I lo mo il tshuva? Because the pasuk is going to go on to say that, you know, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. So the question is, what do you mean to suffer? Tshuva doesn't help? Of course tshuva helps. Binitbonain, the Shem tshuva kimi shemot eshma, eich nechshevet l'mitzvah. You know what he's going to ask? Meshech Chacham asks, how can you call tshuva a mitzvah? Sheyoshev mikislo, that a person should turn back from his evil, v'lo yechet ha'od, and he's not going to sin again. What happens if there wouldn't be a mitzvah of tshuva? What happens if there wouldn't be a mitzvah of tshuva? What's the first task the person who has sinned is supposed to do? Well, there's no mitzvah that I have to do. You know, I'll just keep doing the same avera all over again. That's nonsense. It's absurd. The mitzvah to do or not to do exists after you've transgressed like before. No, it's a person. And let's assume for a moment there is no mitzvah of tshuva. So I have no mitzvah of tshuva. So you can keep talking lashon hara. What do we need it for? What do we need a mitzvah of tshuva? Look at what he says it. Eich nechshevet l'mitzvah. How can you consider as a mitzvah sheyashuv mikislo, that a person should turn back from the evil that he's done and he shouldn't sin again? Halo below our mitzvah, well, below the mitzvah of tshuva, mitzvah the only, he still is commanded l'bli lavar mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. He still is commanded not to do any avera. V'chibishvil she'ol v'shtonavo, because the person did an avera, it's like hudralo, it's as though now he's permitted to do it. And therefore the Torah has to come along and tell him, no, you better do tshuva. Why does the Torah have to tell me that I have to do tshuva? Hinei ha'azhora ha'ishona ha'monato mechato tenet shakota. The first prohibition that stops him or should stop him from sin before he sins should stop him from sinning before he sins for the second, the third, or the tenth time. Ganare shakota. Omnam, two lines further. Omnam mitzvah hatshuva. Mitzvah hatshuva.
I'm going to read that for you as well. Mitzvah Hatshuva. Asher al zeh sort mitzvah protes. Who? He says, what do we need a mitzvah for? She'im chota ba'ozeh et cheto. If a person sinned and he stopped sinning, mitzvah his vados. The only thing the Torah can tell me is what you should do. To tell you not to do the aveira again. I don't need another time to tell you. Once the Torah says you can't do it, you can't do it the second time or the tenth time. Ulahagi, the Chnei Hashem is barking to tell God. Ki odeya ba'atzmo shechot, on the Vakish Kapor, he has to tell God, I know that I sinned, I want forgiveness. And then he says, v'cheinu, and this is clear already, v'cheinu b'loshem ha'gambam. This is the way the Neshechot is reading the Rambam that we just learned. V'cheinu l'shom rabbeinu v'hilchus tshuva. This is what I already said in Hilchus tshuva. Ki sheyaseh tshuva v'yoshuv v'nichet ha'o. When a person does tshuva and he turns back from his sin, perush, he's not going to sin anymore. Why is he not going to sin anymore? Because Lashon Hara is still awesome. Because of the tzivui shahu mitzvah he's committed to low level, the Kama Rishona, the first original prohibition remains now. Etc. Meshach Chachma is saying clearly the way we are reading the Rambam. That's exactly what we're reading. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Tov, say the title of Bacha, and Rav Aaron both say, can't be. The Chav says, had an uncle who wrote a sefer called Avodat HaMelech, a perush on the Rambam Hilchot Teshuva, also takes the position that the Rambam doesn't hold that tshuva is a mitzvah, and the only mitzvah is bidui, and the Rav says it can't be. How can you say that there's no mitzvah to do tshuva? And of course, he's going to try to prove it from the words of the Rambam. Yes?
Isn't tshuva, you would say, like an added state of grace that Hashem gives you, that it is a gift from Hashem rather than a...
That's what you're saying is number three from the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, which you have not had a chance to learn. Right now we're dealing with the Rambam. But it did well. Okay.
Yes, thanks.
The Rav says it can't be. Can't be? No mitzvah of tshuva? But what's the position of the Rambam? So therefore the Rav says, we have to take a look at the Rambam in its totality. So first of all, he points out, let's look at that... Let's look at the title, the heading. Let's look at it again, that little line over there. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Taseh Archa, one positive commandment. The who? Read the formulation there. Sheyoshuv Hachote Mein Cheto Lifnei Hashem V'Yidvado. How do you like that? The Rambam enunciates the mitzvah in a different way. And he says, it's one mitzvah say that a person should do tshuva and confess. That's a little different than what one might understand from looking in the Rambam, in the halach itself. The headings are very important. Wait, take a look at number two, another source. This is in the second chapter of Hilchot Tshuva. Umami HaTshuva, what is tshuva? Who? Sheyazo hachotei cheto, that the sinner should set aside his sin, v'yisido v'mashavto, and remove it from his thoughts, v'yigmarbo v'vom, and aside in his heart, shalom yasehu lo, he's not going to do it anymore. Shenema, yazo rosho darko, let the evil, let them leave their way, and v'chein yitnachem al shomar, he should regret the past, and now achiachere shuvi nichamti, after I did shuva, I regretted. V'yoyit olav yodea kavumas, understand what kind of a tshuva has to be, that the one who knows all secrets, God should be able to testify about the person that he really means it. That's an obligation to be reached. That's not easy. To reach the point where yodea kavumas, the one who knows everything, is going to testify about him, shalom yoshim l'zah ha'chet li'olam, that he's never going to do this sin. Shenema v'lo nomar odo l'hein l'masi yodein, we're not going to call our handiwork Elohim of our God. V'tzorech l'hismatos v'tzorech v'lomar inyanos elu shekom ha'bolivo. He has to
say vidui and express with his lips all of these ideas that he decided in his heart. Kof says, here it seems that the Rambam is describing an entire process of tshuva, and that's the mitzvah. Vidui is only, in this halacha, vidui is the conclusion of this whole
process.
More than a process, you know, I don't like the word process.
I know.
Right? We're talking about an internal upheaval. There's something that is, and it may be a process that takes years. It may take less, depending on what the person is, depending on his circumstances. Here it seems quite clear that Shuvah is a mitzvah, and the Chanan has described Shuvah. Number three, this is already in chapter 7. Koram is being kulam tzihu ala tshuva. All the prophets commanded that you should do tshuva. You understand already what the prophets said. Tzihu ala tshuva. They commanded to do tshuva. So it seems that tshuva is a mitzvah. Ve'en Yisrael nik'ol el the tshuva. And Israel are going to be redeemed only from tshuva. Ukvar yifticha Torah. And the Torah has already guaranteed she'sof Yisrael asos tshuva v'sof kol ukam. That the end is that Israel is going to do tshuva at the end of their exile, or miyad hein nig'olim, and immediately they will be redeemed. And here the Rambam is going to bring a pasuk from the parasha that we just read, and the way the Rambam explained it, you see, the Rambam said that the psukim are not only a mitzvah, but the psukim are also a guarantee, a promise, or a hint to what's going to be in the future. So he says, "V'hoyer ki yavor alecha kol avor v'shav tar Hashem lekecha v'shav Hashem lekecha tshuvcha v'chamecha v'shav v'kibetz v'kol amim Hashem v'chamecha Hashem lekecha v'shamah." So we see that tshuva and geula are inextricably intertwined one with another. In this halacha of the Rambam, he talks about tshuva as something that will happen in the future, and he also says, "Kol amim kulam." See who al tshuva. They commanded that tshuva should be done. Alright? So the Rav says, it must be that tshuva is a mitzvah. The Rambam cannot be understood as meaning that only vidui is the mitzvah. How is it possible that tshuva should not be? The Rav will go on to explain what the relationship between tshuva and vidui is, but I want to just spend a few minutes and put in my an idea that those of you who've been hearing my shiur for years most probably will recognize the idea already, because it's something that keeps growing in me, and I know this is what I feel about. And it was triggered by I do it every year, I've been studying Rav Kook on the Arkada Yitzchak. And it's possible maybe next week's year is going to be the Rav on the Arkada. We've done it in the past, but it's unbelievable. There's something that just emotionally impacts on me. It's Rav Kook's description of Arkada Yitzchak, which is, of course, a central theme of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're just focusing in on one little word and one idea that's expressed by our book. And it came to pass after these things, and God appeared to Avram and told him, Kachna et bincha et yichidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. Please take your one and only son, Yitzchak, whom you love. Rav Kook is going to describe how Avram, he's going to take us emotionally. It's really like a movie. He's going to take you step by step and show you exactly how Avram acts and what he does, and we're even able to penetrate his mind. And then Rav Kook comes to the end. He says, you have to know, most significant about the Akedah, it didn't happen to me. God didn't tell him to take your son and kill him now. Because then we might be left with the impression that this was an act of passion. It was an act at the moment, but it wasn't something that was thought out clearly, and Avraham Avinu made a decision. That's why it takes place here for 3 days. And in all of his preparations, we see a man who's calm, who has everything figured out. This is not just some mad religious act. No, this is clearly thought out. And then the coup de grace, the main point. When God tells Avram, please take your son. Do you know what God is telling him? This is not a mitzvah. I'm not commanding you to do it. You're absolutely free. I'm saying, no, please. You wanna? You wanna. You don't want to? You don't want to. This is not a commandment. It's not like the first time that God said, leave your land, leave your birthplace, leave your home and go to the land that I said. Kachno. Furthermore, the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu had all the reason in the world to beg off and say, the Beit Hamikdash, you can't even ask me to do this. Because you yourself, you promised me, keep Yitzchak, you call the Chazara. Yitzchak is going to be my seed. You're breaking your promise. It was an oath of yours. And the fact is that the Medrash tells us that after the Akedah, God, Avraham says to God, you know what I could have told you. You know that I could have asked you the great question. You promised me that Yitzchak is going to be my generations to come. And now you tell me. So the point that Rav Kook wants to make is Avram was absolutely free. There wasn't even the coercion of a mitzvah. There was no right there. Over the years, I have developed a list. It's a small list, but it's a very significant list of mitzvot, or what seem to be mitzvot, that may not really be mitzvot. Because there are certain things that God wants to leave completely to man's free will. One that I discovered a year ago was the Maldin, the first Maldin on Parashat Tumah. Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'yikru li Tumah, and they should take unto me donations for the Mishkan, Zor, v'chesed, v'choshes, gold, silver, copper, all this the things. The Maldin says in the first line of Parashat Tumah, he says, be careful. Take a look at what it says here. It says, v'yikru li Tumah, take unto me Tumah. What should it have said? It should have said that God tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people, the Yitruli Truma, you should give Truma. Why does it say it sort of in a roundabout fashion, and take unto me Truma? So the Maldin says God wanted that whatever donation Jews are going to give for the construction of the Mishkan should be an absolute expression of their own free will. There shouldn't be the coercion of mitzvah. The convention was in it, you know, like having a building fund, and you know, the proper piece of the manor where the mission is supposed to be built. And the rabbis can understand that this is the kind of fundraising that you can't refuse, because the convention says give. Anash doesn't give, he doesn't want that. What he wants is literally an outpouring of Jewish generosity. That's what he wants. And therefore, it's written in such careful terminology. Not the Yitnu li Truma, give me Truma. Like you know it's read? You know it's written? The Yikru li Truma. So he says, you know what the Yikru li Truma is? You appoint people, Moshe, you just appoint people who will be ready to receive donations. But coercion? I don't want even the mitzvah, of course. Nobody's going to be coerced. You want to share in a home that's going to be built for the Rabbi Yisrael? That's quite a project. Eze project gadol. You want a share of that? Let it come out of the absolutely free. Avraham Avinu was free. No coercion whatsoever. We also said this with regard. I always quote the not famous, but I get plenty of famous when I'm making things famous. The Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Svidei Yesh, has a tshuva in which somebody asks him, why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot? On Purim, it's supposed to send gifts, so why don't we make a bracha? Hashem, it's on the Mishloach Manot. So there are those who want to answer that it's similar to tzedakah. Now the Rambam, Reb Yishon, says you don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah because you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that requires somebody else. You only make a bracha on a mitzvah that I can fulfill myself. But tzedakah requires somebody who's to receive the tzedakah. So he says that's not a good enough answer by Mishloach Manot, because by Mishloach Manot you might not be aware of this a lot, it may come in handy sometimes. Now, along with Mishloach Manot, what happens if I send Shalach Manot to somebody and they say, you know, it's really very nice of you. It's so sweet of you. I hate that. All right. It's so sweet of you. But no, thank you. It's okay. I have enough apples and I have enough oranges. Thanks. I didn't mean it. I really appreciate it. Now, what is that you fulfill the mitzvah? Because the mitzvah, Mishloach Manot, is supposed to be an expression of a friendship. And therefore, if you try to send and they said no, thank you, so finish, you fulfill the mitzvah. So the 3A says that means that the mitzvah of Shalach Manot doesn't really depend on somebody else. It can be me alone. I don't need anybody else.
Then you should make a bracha.
So he says you should make a bracha. So the 3A says no. The whole purpose of Mishloach Manot is that there should be a sense of friendship and love and camaraderie between one Jew and another. Do you know what would be most destructive of the entire significance and meaning of the mitzvah? If before you give the Shalach Manot, you should say, Asher Kitzchonu, he sanctified us with his commandments, V'tzivanu, and he commanded. You know what he commanded me? Truth is, I don't really like you. And if you want to know all the reasons why I don't like you, I'll tell you them right now. But I happen to have a mitzvah to fulfill. I have to send Shalach Manot. Not the only guy around. You're the only one around with whom I can fulfill the mitzvah. You know? Okay, so take my apple and my olive. No. The mitzvah would fly in the face of the whole mitzvah of Mishloach Manot. It would simply become meaningless. Because there are certain things that what our rabbis want, what Torah wanted, certain things that should come from inside us without really any coercion or something that at least minimizes the extent of the coercion. By now you should have known exactly where I'm going to. You know exactly where I'm going to because this is my Torah. And I want to see it in the Rambam here too as well. There is great difference of opinion whether there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael or not. The Rambam does not ever any place enunciate clearly mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Both Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's not an obligatory mitzvah. At most it's a mitzvah. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you get points. You get a lot of points. Many more than mitzvah kiyumin, not mitzvah kiyumin. So I know that people said, well, listen, Rav Moshe says you don't have to live in Eretz Yisrael. And I said this before, but it's going to explain. To me, it's going to explain the Rambam. So I say, I'm thrilled with this pshat halacha that Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah, an obligatory mitzvah. I'm thrilled with what Rav Moshe said. I'm thrilled with what Rav Soloveitchik said. Because you know what it means? It means that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we can come out of our own free will. And that's what the Liberation wants. The Liberation doesn't want somebody who's crying his eyes out as he packs his fiddle-free color TV and gets a manor fridge on the east side that won't go into any Israeli apartment. And he's crying all the way because there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so he has to go. Now, if that's the way you feel about it, do me a favor. Stay on the east side. David HaMelech in Tehillim describes the sin of the spies as Moasu, they rejected Eretz Chemda, a desirable land. We say it in benching. Eretz Chemda. Eretz Chemda means something that I desire. Not something that's imposed upon me, even by a mitzvah from above. It flows from me. That's where the Shechina is. That's the land that the nation loves. From there the whole world was created. And there we can achieve our ultimate greatness. I want to be there. So therefore, I'm perfectly happy with the idea that there is no mitzvah that obligates a person to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wants a person to do tshuva because of the very depths of his heart. He feels lonely. He feels he's made terrible mistakes. There's an emptiness. Life has lost its meaning. And he begins to think and ponder, and he arrives at a conclusion. Oh yeah, I need a Rebbeinu Shlomo in my life. I need Torah. I need that which I had neglected all of these years. He wants tshuva to come from the very depths of the heart of the Jew. Not even a mitzvah to coerce. Not even a mitzvah. Kachma is binchas yechivcha. Please, I'm following. It's all up to you. I don't want to coerce you with a mitzvah. You don't have to bring donations for my dwelling place. There are certain areas of Yiddishkeit that the convention leaves that opening. That it should come from me, from me. I want to put tshuva into that category. I'm a little frightened about it, because I'm disagreeing with the God. That's not easy. Not easy, okay? Not easy for me at all. But there may be some merit, there may be some merit to what I'm saying. Ah, you have arrived. You've done tshuva in your heart. You did that. Now Torah says, okay. Now, what I want you to do is, you finally made it. Kishayasa tshuva, when you do tshuva, be doing. That's the mitzvah. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants from you. Tshuva, up to you. Be doing, now we're working together. You make your way back to me. I'm sort of taking it by the hand through the rest of the process. Habol Tahir, the one who comes to purify himself, Messiah Mo, we help him. So God says, you want that tshuva to remain strong? You have to give it, body. Express it with your mouth. Say it. You have no idea what that's going to mean. But the tshuva itself, none of it, sir. I'm taking the position with the new Chassinah and the Meshach Chachma. And I don't know, I'm thinking that maybe the Rav is smiling down. I don't know. But let's say we'll leave it open. That's the approach that I think will happen. Next week, I'm not sure yet what I'll do next week, but probably it's going to be...